Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
My friends, here we are again. I am Vivian McPeak, and this is Hemp Present. If you had feedback or would like to suggest a guest or topic for Hemp Present, email me at hemppresent@gmail.com. Since 1990, Christopher Boucher has been recognized as a co-founder of the modern-day American industrial hemp industry. Chris founded the Hempstead Company, one of the first U.S. hemp clothing and seed businesses, with products sold in 4,000 stores across 6 countries. He co-founded the Hemp Industries Association, or the HIA, and became America's first hemp cultivator, growing the first hemp research field at the USDA Center in Brawley, California in 1994. Chris drafted the first U.S. hemp legislation in California and Colorado, leading to the establishment of the first hemp agricultural laws in these states and the U.S. From 1997 to 2000, Chris helped pass the first Native American hemp laws on the Navajo Reservation. Currently, he has developed a breakthrough innovation with hemp leaf CBDA superfoods. And with all of his firsts, this is the first time he's been on this show. Welcome, Chris, to Cannabis Radio.
Oh, thank you for having me on. It's a pleasure, Vivian.
Absolutely, Chris. It's always good talking to you, man. So, you know, you've been called a pioneer in the hemp space for decades. In your opinion, what do the new hemp wars mean to you? And how are they different from the hemp struggles of the 90s and early 2000s?
Very good question. Real simple. As you know, the hemp movement really started for, you know, legalization of cannabis. But at the same time, it was environmental activism. We were all environmentalists, whether I was with Surf Rider Foundation, Earth First, Rainforest Action Network, Earth Island Institute, all the coalitions of environmental action groups, whether it was for clear cutting, you know, and our whole mission was hemp's going to save the world, as Jack Hara, you know, taught us and brainwashed us. And the emperor wears no clothes. So you had to be a real radical activist to be in the hemp movement and tell all your family and friends, this is what I do. So most people that are, you know, in, I would say, you know, your average, you know, middle class, just it was pretty radical for them because they didn't have the information. So they had no idea really what you were doing. So now we have this suit and tie money revenue generating, you know, greed that has entered our industry, which, you know, that's part of any industry. We're never going to stop it. So we've been, I would say, taken over by this loophole. It's a little pinhole in the law called hemp derived. So all the lab guys, the people that do chemical lab THC and D8, they devised this legal, and I think, hey, man, it's legal, do it, but it's burning down our house. Well, you're making money. My house is burning down because these Delta 9 and Delta 8 lab-made THC derived from hemp is causing law enforcement, politicians, and especially the marijuana movement, who is regulated. They pay their taxes. They have to jump through all these hoops. And these cats are across the street selling Delta 9 hemp THC with no license, no regulation. It's almost like if you had a liquor store, you have a liquor license, and the guy across the street is making his own beer, his own whiskey, his own wine. He doesn't have a license. He doesn't have a regulation. And so we've got all these dynamics that have come in, and it's really caused my industry, the real hemp supplement, hemp gets you healthy, you know, the most healthiest superfood on the planet, is now getting outlawed because of the THC D8 mafia guys. That's my take on it. And I'm radical, so, and I'm pretty open, but when you're burning my house down, I'm going to speak up. And so whether it's in Texas, whether it's in, you know, California, all these emergency regulations, and let's not call it hemp. That's not hemp that, as we know, you know. And so that's what's happening. So you get your Cheech and Chongs, your Snoop Dogs, who are the front face of this hemp lab made, you know, Delta 9 and D8. And they don't take it serious. They have no environmental whatsoever. It's money. And it's a $1 billion industry. So how do you put a cap on that?
Yeah, you know, when something becomes commoditized, like has happened with industrial hemp, which we worked for decades to get to this point, then the vultures come out, and the capitalists who've never been involved really deeply with the issue and don't have a deep understanding, but there's money to be made, right? Which is kind of the story of our world and why our world is crumbling in front of us to some degrees. Chris, you kind of touched, there's a growing divide between natural hemp-derived products and these lab-made cannabinoids like Delta-8 and synthetic Delta-9. To the average person, like, what are they? I mean, how are they different? How different are they, and in what way are they different? What can you tell us about these cannabinoids and how they come about?
Yeah, so the magic trick is CBD isolate. They take hemp CBD that I grow as a farmer, and some people turn it into an oil, then into an isolate. And these lab guys, these laboratory people who control the whole hemp industry, that's basically the middleman of the whole industry, from conversion from flower to oils. So they take CBD and they put it in a lab, and they put hexane and other chemicals into the CBD, and it turns into THC for the fact that CBD is a precursor to THC. So before THC becomes THC, it starts off as CBG, CBD. And then if you have a little bit of science background, you can, you know, like I said, add hexane. And again, I'm not 100% sure because I'm not a scientist. And so they're converting it. They're not even extracting it out of the plant. But again, it's THC Delta 9, just like alcohol is alcohol, whether it's from a potato or from wheat or from corn, it gets you high. And so these 10 and 20 milligram drinks, you get pretty stoned. I mean, I've tried them. They're pretty good, but it's not industrial hemp. Industrial hemp is 0.3% THC, which equates to about 2.5 milligrams of THC. So it's usually a 25 to 1 ratio or a 30 to 1 ratio. That is your full spectrum hemp derived or hemp a tincture or supplement, or whatever you want to call it.
So that sounds to me like it's a lot cheaper to produce for the market.
Oh, yeah. So the labs have basically dictated the price to the farmer. So if I'm a farmer, whatever the lab, if I'm growing CBD flower and he wants biomass, they dictate the price nationally, you know, whether it's, 10 cents per percentage point or 40 cents per percentage point. And so the laboratories, they basically are the ones that dictate the price. They dictate the market. And that's kind of how, in the hemp CBD farming agricultural space, that's how it is. So, it's definitely something that is not natural. You could say it's derived, but it's kind of like a little pinhole in a piece of paper that turned into this giant, massive hole. You know, everyone wiggled their way through it. And the federal law says hemp derived, but it didn't describe You know, if you're a wordsmith, you know, Jack Herer always told me, hey, before you get into this, learn about linguistics, be a wordsmith, know what it means in the law. So that being said, that was probably, it was a mistake, or just when they wrote the federal law, it didn't really dictate consumer-based products. The USDA and the Farm Bill kind of dictates the agricultural farming end of it. So there's really no federal law that regulates hemp foods or hemp CBD. I mean, the FDA did try to give their opinion. Now, the FDA doesn't make laws. They can give an opinion, and the FDA can give a really bad opinion, like CBD might not be as harmful for humans. You know, where there's 1,000 studies that show it's probably one of the best cannabinoids for the endocannabinoid system, for your blood pressure, for your heart, whatever. And when you take that into consideration, that one study from a right-wing Christian college said, hey, we gave rats 50,000 milligrams of CBD and their liver went out on them. So it was skewed. So the FDA kind of really put the Hoover Dam in the expansion of the entire hemp CBD industry. So other companies people were looking for a way to open up the industry more, and maybe this is how it happened. But that's a lot to consume, what I just said. So,
well, that's not encouraging considering the state of the FDA and our current reality.
You don't like laws that make opinions. So CBD
is more politicized than ever now.
Yeah, hemp CBD was projected to be like a multi-billion dollar industry, whether it was Coca-Cola, Pepsi, whether it was Vaughn's, Ralph's, Whole Foods, you name it, Ocean Spray, they all were jumping in the game. And then around 2016, this really horrible study was submitted to the FDA, and they said, yeah, it might not be safe for humans. So your Walmarts, your Ralph's, your Vaughn's, all your national grocers, they're not going to carry edible CBD, because if somebody sued them, they'd go to court and it'd be like, well, the FDA said that this wasn't safe. So you'll see topical, not consumable, but you'll see topical CBD at Walmart. You'll see it at Vaughn's. You'll see it at Whole Foods, but not edible CBD. So we're hoping the Hoover Dam's going to get blown up like real soon. The FDA will come out with an opinion that says, yeah, it is safe for humans. It's actually really good for humans. And that's going to be like the massive tsunami.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax tip and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
We have tsunamis, I believe. And hopefully it will be a cap on the THC so the THC mafia doesn't come in and try to take it over.
Right. We don't have much time. I want to move on here. You're one of the few who've been vocal about the potential of acidic cannabinoids like CBDA and CBGA. What does the latest science tell us about their therapeutic promise, especially in comparison to their neutral forms? And what have public policymakers misunderstood most about these compounds, if they have?
Well, first of all, they're non-psychoactive. And second of all, when you look at the science and the studies, peer review behind them, it's really about bioavailability. So if you have CBDA, CBGA, THCA, all these acidic cannabinoids, what form? Are they in an oil form? Are they in a lipid? Are they in an isolate? And so we've developed this breakthrough science that we believe is just, I mean, it's probably the highest bioavailable acidic cannabinoid you can get on the marketplace. It's either you drink the raw juice, which we don't have access to raw cannabis juice in our supermarkets, in our health food stores. It doesn't exist yet. So we've been able to do the raw juice, and we use the lycolization, which is like a freeze-dried powder. Astronaut food, bunker food, Army, Marines, they all have freeze-dried because it has the highest bioavailability of nutrients, vitamins, and now with acidic cannabinoids, it really locks the acidic cannabinoid in its state and presence. that's in the plant. So freeze-dry lipolysation is an expensive, long process. I mean, it takes 24 hours just to make the powder, but it's 90% bioavailable. And we're finding out through the science that in the studies that CBDA, for instance, is 1,000 times more active than CBD for your serotonin receptors. So the new health wave now is gut to brain health. So 90% of your serotonin for your brain is produced in your stomach. And maybe that's why a lot of people are unhealthy, because their stomach, or they're not getting enough serotonin. So the CBDA, actually, when you consume it, if it's in a bioavailable form, you feel the serotonin boost immediately. I mean, within maybe a minute, you're like, am I high or what am I feeling? So we believe that this new science of acidic cannabinoids can really, it's a game changer, you know, and we're finding out that there's not a lot of studies on it, because, you know, it's been skewed. Everyone's been looking at the CBD because it's very volatile. Oxygen, heat, light can deteriorate the acidic cannabinoids. So we're able to have a technology where we've got it fresh picked, the green leaves, and we're able to preserve the acidic cannabinoids in a state for a long time.
Well, Chris, when you say we, you're talking about Juiceteva, your business, right?
My company, Juiceteva, we have IP. Our technology is, we have equipment, these automated leaf harvesters, so we can harvest a whole acre like in an hour of fresh green leaf, and it's. And then our equipment, we've got this super HP cold press equipment where we're pulping. So we're not just juicing, we're actually pulping the leaf, the fresh leaf, and we're able to use high pressure with the pulp. And within the pulp, there's cellulose, there's fiber, and a lot of your vitamins and minerals, and even some of the cannabinoids are in there, and we're able to push them out and get like a 98% return on all the cannabinoids and acidic cannabinoids, vitamins, minerals, flavonoids, polyphenols. I mean, the list goes on. I mean, this, you know, I'm sure you guys have heard about Dr. Courtney, William Courtney, and he's probably the foremost authority.
I've had him on.
He is definitely the foremost authority, and he's ahead of his time. So am I. We all are, but I think time's going to catch up to us real soon, because the science behind this needs to come out. It needs to be publicized. Like, you're allowing me to come on your show. How many people have had fresh juice CBDA? Probably nobody. maybe 1%. So we're able to put it in a package, in a drink that is accessible and that can have like a 3-4 year shelf life, and it's still valid and still has all its minerals, vitamins, and cannabinoids.
Great, great. We have about 6 minutes. I'm going to move quickly here. With upcoming Farm Bill revisions, there's uncertainty around definitions of hemp and THC limits, and you kind of touched on some of the dynamics. What changes are you anticipating, and how might they impact small hemp companies versus pharmaceutical and synthetic players? And do you have any concerns about this administration throwing some kind of wrench in things or changing things dramatically?
Yeah, so right now we've got people that are putting their fingerprint inside the farm bill for hemp. I believe there's a gentleman out of Maryland who is a prohibitionist, and they're really trying to destroy the industry from the inside out. However, I've been in the industry like 30 something years, so long story short, the Kentucky Coalition, I call the Kentucky Coalition, is the core group of politicians that really got hemp federally legalized. Whether you like these guys or not, Mitch McConnell, Comner, Massey, Rand Paul. And in 1994, I was in the Kentucky Governor's Task Force. I'm the guy who gave Woody Harrelson the seeds to plant in Kentucky. So I know Kentucky real well, and I believe that they will do anything to protect their hemp CBD farmers. not their THC farmers. So they're not going to let this bill. They're the, you know, the founders of the bill, I would say, in a sense. I mean, I'm sure there's other, the gentleman from Oregon, there's other people that were involved, but these guys will not let some of these prohibitionists destroy the hemp cannabinoids, the non-psychoactive. However, there's definitely going to be a cap on the THC because of the Snoop Dogs and the Cheech and Chongs. These guys, they're not hemp people, man. They're just intoxicant people. And it's sad because imagine if they got into the environmental action of hemp. Snoop Dogg, Cheech and Chong, wake up, people. This is about the environment, you know, saving the earth and healing people. They just want to get people high, and I get that. It helps some people, but at the end of the day, we could really use their help and awareness and education. Will they do it? I don't know. You know, people should reach out to them and say, why are you guys making a statement? Why are you just
going to... I think the only angle it would be to convince them that they can make as much or more money doing something. Otherwise, I'm...
Yeah. I hate to say, you're absolutely right. You know, is there any money in the environment? We're spending money to save the environment.
There is. It's a whole nother show, right? Real quickly, because we only have 2 minutes. So in about a minute, we had to spend on this. Industrial hemp's potential goes far beyond cannabinoids. How close are we seeing to real breakthroughs in like hempcrete bioplastics, especially biodegradable hemp plastic or textile infrastructure in the U.S.? Do you see anything quickly changing?
Yeah, I think it's really coming down to the vertical integration from the farmer to the actual finished product. Industrial hemp for fiber, for construction, there's not a lot of money in it for the farmer. So you got to convince the farmer, hey, grow hemp before you grow corn, before you grow soybean, before you grow whatever other crop. And that's a big issue. I mean, there's so much excess hemp fiber right now in the country. Some of these like $30 million hemp factories, they can only process maybe a month or two because there's not enough industry that's buying the fiber. I mean, the picture looks good. The story sounds great, but I got boots on the ground and I know farmers that have grown fiber hemp. It's hard to grow and you don't get a lot of money for it.
And unfortunately, that's how hemp saves the planet, right? It's not by having grams of cheap weed in retail stores, which is a great thing, but that's not going to help us fight.
We need vertical integration. We need vertical integration in the farm areas where wherever the farm is, the factory has to be within a couple miles of it or 10, 20 miles. And it needs to be logistically spread out. You know, you just can't have a hemp insulation factory in Idaho trying to ship insulation to Florida or Texas or Maine. So this has to be thought out. But, you know, the story's there, the excitement, and we just need, I think, money to invest or create a better product.
We're out of time. In like 20 seconds, how can people find Juiceteva and your products?
Just look up Hemp Juice or Juiceteva.com on Google or on the internet. And our Hemp Juice, if you sign up, you could use in capital words Hemp World and we'll give you a 20% discount. We really want people to try it. Juiceteva.com or just Google Hemp Juice. We're all over the place on the internet. And I'm really excited and thank you for letting me be on your show. And I think you're doing a great job and people like you is what makes it happen.
Chris, thank you so much for all your incredible work. That's Juice and then just put T-I-V-A at the end of it, Juiceteva.
You are after them.
You are just a true inspiration, bro. And I appreciate all the work you've done. Thanks for being on the show.
Awesome, Vivian. Blessings. Thank you for what you do.
Pat, you bet. The Hemp Intro Music of 7 Mile Beats by Joanne Rand. The outro music, Take Back the Plant. I stick with it. Later. Marijuana!